Again, we're glad to have Brother Jack Yost with us again today and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts.
Good to see you, sir.
Thank you. I want to thank your pastor and you folks for giving us the privilege to be here. Getting old. I'm older, I'm younger today than I'll ever be. The Amishman said, the older I get, the better I used to be. Well, I appreciate very much. You folks have been so friendly and kind and gracious, and I want to thank you for your prayers, and Brother Long, thank you for giving us the privilege to be here. Brow may wrinkle, hair turns gray, but friends never decay. I pray every day that I may be worthy of your friendship. You have a Bible this morning? I'm going to ask that you turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18, notice verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then if you will note a verse, say verse 30, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near and unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Then in verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their backs on him. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood, and the stones, and the people knew that there was a God. Father, I pray the message may be a blessing to hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name and for thy sake. Amen. A bit of background material. In previous chapters, we see Elijah called suddenly out of obscurity to give a message of judgment to Ahab. The message that he is to give, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, following this pronouncement of judgment, he retires from the stage of public action, goes into seclusion, and there is a drought. After the 3 years of famine, Elijah is called on again to show thyself to Ahab. Now, keep in mind, Ahab was not a Gentile. He's not a heathen, a favorite Israelite that married Jezebel. And in a sense, because of an unequal yoke here, his faith is on the rocks, driven to destruction. You probably have the feeling that he'd be willing to repent. But instead of being willing to repent, he's blaming the prophet for the trouble that came to the nation. He went on to say this, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Instead of advancing toward the prophet for spiritual help and instruction, he's blaming the prophet for the trouble that came to the nation. But Elijah said, look, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you are the ones that's forsaken the commandments of the Lord. Now, this gives us a picture of the heinousness of sin. It's a picture of individuals rebelling against authority, picture of individuals that's refusing to be in subjection to the Lord, throwing off the divine yoke, so to speak. And this matter of rebellion today is very, very prevalent. I'm sure that you folk are aware of that. And in a sense, for this reason, Elijah gave a command for the people to come to the top of the mountain. Now, if you will note here, it's mentioned that there were the prophets of Baal, false prophets, 450, prophets of the grove, which were 400 that were at Jezebel's table. And the time has arrived for things to come to a head. It's coming to the place where they have to make a decision. If God is God, serve him. If Baal is God, then serve him. And it's coming to a head, so to speak. And I could picture this in my mind's eye. It's early in the morning, and the people are coming to the top of the mountain, probably with this expectation in their heart that there would be an end to the drought or the suffering. And there was no work being done, and they had looking forward to see what the Lord had to say, so to speak. And through the crowd comes the king, carried on the shoulders of his guard of honor, surrounded by the officers of the state. A very dramatic scene. Stage is set, audience is assembled, and they're ready to play their part. And it's at this time where Elijah is sharing the text that we have chosen. If God is God, serve him. Baal, serve him, but how long halt ye between two opinions? Now note the emphasis here. How long halt ye between two opinions? One side, Baal, hundreds of false prophets, and then on the other side, Jehovah and his lone servant Elijah. And really, when you stop and think about it, it's probably one of the most dramatic scenes in the entire Old Testament. It's a public contest between good and evil. Make up your mind. If God is God, serve him. Baal, then serve him. But note the text. How long halt ye between two opinions? Now, if I understand this correctly, the word halt means to totter. They were not walking uprightly. They went this way and that way. They probably had an element of fear in their heart concerning the Lord. They didn't want to abandon him. And on the other hand, they felt they probably had to embrace the religion of the state. But they were halting between two opinions. This way, that way. If God is God, serve him. Baal, serve him. But how long halt ye between two opinions? Now, that's the message, and I hope that you can understand, as they were coming to this place where they had to make a decision, there was no evenness in their walk, there was no steadiness concerning their principle, and certainly no consistency in their conduct. They were halting between two opinions. How long halt ye between two opinions? You know, I must just share this with you. Be thankful that you have a Bible-believing fundamental church. You know, it's coming to the place where we're going to have to make up our mind. We may see some real persecution before this is over with. If God is God, serve him. Baal, serve him, and there's a strong emphasis today on a social gospel. Whatever is advantageous doesn't have to be right. Whatever is the best suitable means to accomplish a thing, if it's pragmatic or expedient, you just do your thing. You find today that there are no absolutes, nothing right or wrong, and this is what we are facing. The Bible insists that there are certain principles that we live by. I believe the Bible to be God's Word, divinely inspired, truth without error. And we must understand whatever is advantageous today doesn't have to be right. And we're facing a situation where there are no absolutes. So it all boils down to simply this. If God is God, serve him. Baal, serve him. Today, people, you know, want to be accepted. There's a strong emphasis on fulfillment rather than denial, separation from the world. There's very little talk today about a separated Christian life. Walls of separation are broken, are down. The Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in the heart. Any man love the world, he is an enemy of God. Are we going to serve the Lord, or are we going to just be halfway about it? God is God, serve him. Baal, serve him. But how long halt ye between two opinions? You know, I want to ask you the question. Do you believe the Bible to be divinely inspired? What are you relying on? Every person relies on something. Think of this for just a moment. Religion is reliance. It's a thing on which you rely to save you. And everybody relies on something. Now, a Christian relies on the atoning blood of Jesus Christ for his salvation. And here they are worshiping false gods. Answer the question, do you have a God that answers prayer? Do you have a God that can save? What are you relying on? I thought of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Who won the battle? Daniel did. He was taken out and his accusers were thrown in. Then who won the battle? Lions did. They had no God to deliver them. Do you have a God that can deliver, save, answer prayer? Call on your God, the one that answers by fire, let him be God. And they agreed. Now that if you read in the chapter here, when they called out on their gods, there was no answer. No, none that regarded. Do you have a God that answers prayer? So Elijah said this, call on your God and the one that answers by fire, let him be God. And they agreed. I think most people here this morning would agree to that type of proposition. Would you go along with that? The one that answers by fire, let him be God. And they agreed. But I want you to note, before Elijah called on his God, it's mentioned here that the altar had to be repaired. Now, the message this morning, in a sense, deals a lot with this matter of prayer. And I want you to catch this because it's very important. The altar had to be repaired in order to hear from above. Later in the chapter, Elijah wanted them to hear from God. To hear from the Lord, to hear from heaven, the altar had to be repaired. Now, did you ever stop and think that the most important part of a church is the altar? Noah built an altar. Abraham built an altar. Moses built an altar. I want to emphasize this. It's very important. I believe personally the most important part of a church, the altar, not the social hall, not the pulpit, the altar. Now, what are we talking about? A pile of stones? Are we talking about a bench? The altar is a place of worship of God. It's a place of sacrifice for God. It's a place of commitment unto God, and it's a place of communion with God. Catch this. A place of worship of God. A place of sacrifice for God. A place of commitment unto God, and it's a place of communion with God. Have you been with the Lord today? Do you have an altar that you meet the Lord? The altar had to be repaired in order to hear from above. And I'm asking myself the question, are we hearing from above? Could it be perhaps that there may be some altars that need to be repaired, especially the altar of prayer? I heard Dr. Stanley last night make this comment. If you're not praying, you're not a godly Christian. How about your prayer life? Are you hearing from above? Does your prayer life meet the need of your heart? Are you hearing from him? Note carefully again this emphasis. In order to hear from above, that altar had to be repaired. And this really came home to me. Now, when we talk about the altar, we're talking about a place of prayer. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, it gives us the technique of prayer. Note carefully, the technique of prayer, Matthew 6, hear it carefully. When you pray, you enter into the closet, you shut the door, you pray to the Father in secret, he knows your need even before you enter the closet and rewards you openly. May I repeat this again? The technique of prayer, Matthew 6, when you pray, that's up to you, provided there is a time when you are reasonably fresh. When you pray, you enter into the closet, you shut the door, you pray to the Father in secret. He knows your need. There's someone there who knows your need even before you enter the closet, and he rewards you openly. I'm talking about the altar, that place of worship of God, sacrifice for God. Note the sacrifice for him. note carefully, there is always something that takes place before praying begins. Hear me carefully. There's always something that takes place before praying begins. It's that sacrifice for him. In other words, in everyday language, it is simply this: making time for the Lord. You see, you never have time for prayer. You never have time for the altar. You make that time. The altar speaks of sacrifice for him. Catch this carefully. There's always something that takes place before praying begins. When you pray, you enter into the closet. You have a place. You're making time. Then you're talking to a Lord that loves you and knows your need even before you ask. And he rewards you openly. When you pray, up to you. I've asked different people many times this question. What do you wrestle with most in your Christian life? And quite often, it's a matter of having time for the Lord, Bible reading, this matter of making time, having your devotions. You see, in this day and age, we live from the outside in rather than the inside out. We are governed by feeling and mood rather than duty to God. Ours has been described today a culture of feelings. When all is said and done, isn't God fortunate they're worshiping him? I want a God that I can feel close to rather than one I must obey. The mark of a modern sophisticate, keep all of your options open. If I feel like doing it, I do it. And many times we are governed by feeling rather than duty to God. When you pray, enter into the closet. That's up to you. But note there's something taking place before praying begins. It's making that time. And in order to hear from above, the altar had to be repaired. Are you making time? Are you giving God his rightful place? How long halt ye between two opinions? If God is God, serve him with all of your heart. Making time, having that time with the Lord each day. Let me try to share it with this in mind. You're a businessman. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, you're going to meet with a very important person. So you say to the secretary, now, 10 o'clock tomorrow, in my office, I'm meeting a very important person. Please do not call. Please do not knock on the door. It's a time that's important. I must be with this individual. So please do not interrupt me tomorrow at 10 o'clock. When would you not want someone to interrupt you, because that is your time to be with the Lord? When would you not want someone to interrupt? Because that's when you enter into the closet. You shut the door. You pray to the Father in secret. Catch this. There's always something that takes place before praying begins. It's making that time. When you pray, up to you, provided there is a time when you are reasonably fresh. When you pray, God hears. He loves you. He's there in the closet even before you enter. And he knows your need before you ask. Think of it. And the Bible says he rewards you openly. You see, that altar had to be repaired in order to hear from above. To hear from above, the altar had to be repaired. Could it be that there are some altars here this morning that need to be repaired? Could it be that we need to make that time? Something that takes place before praying begins. The altar, that place of worship of God, sacrifice for God, commitment unto God, and communing with God. Before you commune with him, you must make that time. It's sacrifice. to hear from above. Get the point. The altar had to be repaired. Now, you can slip through life and accumulate unintentional commitments. You can allow the shape of life to be determined by the pressures of the moment. You could commit yourself to a job that looks the easiest, a group, the most popular way of living that may look very convenient. But catch on, friend, you can't be neutral because Jesus wasn't neutral to you. It's one or the other. If God is God, serve him. Baal, serve him. But how long halt ye between two opinions? Every now and then, someone asks for a character reference. I don't get very many, but once in a while, your pastor probably gets several. Young people that want to be connected with a Christian institution, something of that nature. And a character reference came our way some time ago. And they asked the question, in what way has the applicant demonstrated Christian discipleship in the last 2 years other than going to church? I had to fill out that character reference. In what way has the applicant demonstrated Christian discipleship other than going to church? That was difficult for me to answer that question. And then I thought of it with this in mind. Where does Christ rank, say, for instance, in our loyalties? Certainly, without a question, there are many of you folk here that's loyal to church, family, some kind of an organization. And I dare say, without a question, many of you perhaps have moved on in a way that you have rearranged loyalties in the interest of getting ahead, fitting in. Part of the 20th century. You've come a long way. But answer the question. In coming this way, what is it that has determined decisions that are made on your part? Are you a homeowner that happens to be a Christian? Or a Christian that happens to be a homeowner? Are you a factory worker that happens to be a Christian? Or, say, for instance, a Christian that happens to be a factory worker, farmer that happens to be a Christian, or a Christian that happens to be a farmer. Now, why would I emphasize this? Simply for this reason. If that individual is not as decided in practice as his belief, the Bible speaks of a double-minded person. Now think with me for a moment. To be as decided in practice as your belief, do you believe there ought to be a family altar? Do you believe that you ought to pray? Do you believe that you ought to be a witness? If we believe things and not practicing it, the Bible indicates there is a double-minded person halting between two opinions. They were halting. If God is God, serve him. Baal, serve him. But how long halt ye between two opinions? And it all came down to this simple truth. I kept thinking to myself, could it be that we are halting this way, that way in our prayer life? Do you have that time, the altar in the home, praying with your children? Having your devotions. I think one of the most important things concerning the Christian life is just this matter of being consistent, having our devotions on a regular basis, not halting this way and that way. We're busy today. I know you never have time. We make that time. And friend, in this day and age, it's coming to the place where we may see some real persecution. I really believe this with all of my heart. And Christians need to stand up and need strength, and we need to have conviction, and we need to have courage to speak out. And this all comes about when our relationship with the Lord. Think of the broken homes. Think of the things today that's going on. Places you can't even mention the name of Jesus. No such a thing today as sin. Anything goes. Broken homes, think of it. How long halt ye between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. To be as decided in our practice, especially this matter of having our time with the Lord. Our simple devotion, simple prayer, the altar at home. That's so important. And friend, if you've been inconsistent in this, here's the point. Here's what I'd like for you to understand. He that wavereth, if we're going this way and that way and we're not consistent in this matter of having our time, that sacrifice for him. If we're not consistent, we're halting. The Bible says, he that wavereth is like a wave in the sea. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from above. Why am I mentioning this? To hear from above. Catch on, friend, to hear from above. The altar had to be repaired. Could it be that there are some things in our life that need to be repaired? Especially this time with the Lord, this matter of family altar, making time for our devotions. The challenge was presented. How long halt ye between two opinions? The challenge was presented. I don't know whether they were convicted. I don't know whether they were confused. There's no indication. When that challenge was presented, I don't know. Convicted or confused? There's no indication. But one thing for certain, we know. There was no answer from above. They took refuge in silence. And you see, friend, when we neglect our time with the Lord, when we fail to have sacrifice for him, commitment to him, when there's this matter of halting between two opinions, no answer from above. They took refuge in silence. You see, friend, a guilty silence here can produce a silence up there. Always remember, the day may come when you want to hear from above. Saul compromised, and the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, prophets, or by the words. A guilty silence here can produce a silence up there. He that wavereth is like a wave in the sea. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from above. The lawyer was brilliant, had a daughter in the hospital, not expected to live. The daughter looked at her dad and said, Dad, all of my life, this thing about Jesus has been foolishness. It's always been foolishness on your part. Mother is a very fine, dedicated Christian. Which way do I go? Your way or mother's way? That proud lawyer looked at the daughter and said, you go mother's way. Mother's way is always the right way when mother's right with God. Which way is it going to go? What are you going to do with Jesus? You want to hear from above? That altar may have to be repaired. A place of worship of God. Sacrifice for him. Commitment unto him. And then you commune with him. Have you made time for him? When you pray, enter into the closet. You shut the door. A loving father knows your need even before you enter that closet. But before you pray, something takes place before praying begins. Making that time. Making the time. When you pray. Up to you. Provided there is that time. To hear from above, the altar had to be repaired. The young fellow is connected with a state institution. One day he received Christ as his Savior, pinned a little cross on his lapel. Schoolmaster saw it. Cross must go. The state will accept no secondary loyalty. State religion tolerates no rival loyalty. Cross must go. But I'm committed to Christ. The cross must go. At noontime, warnings, threats. Then there's a beating. Beating is intensified. Finally, death. They carry the body out through the courtyard, and when they do, his youngest brother races over to that body, pulls the cross off of the lapel, and pins it on his very own. What's your relationship with the Lord? Does he mean anything to you? Do you need to hear from above? If that's a need in your heart, friend, the altar may have to be repaired. It's one or the other. If God is God, serve him. Baal, serve him. When the devil has half a person, he has everything. When God has half a person, he has nothing. Do you have that assurance of salvation? What are you relying on? Do you have a God that answers prayer? They cried out to their gods, and there was no voice nor any that regarded. Elijah called to his God, and God answered prayer, but the altar had to be repaired. This morning, kindly and very prayerfully, if you feel there has been negligence, if you feel that there's been a lack of making time and it's something that you feel in your heart that's needed in your home, within your own relationship with the Lord, you need that inner strength to face the battles. Young people need strength to face battles today. If you feel that there's an altar that needs to be repaired in your heart, in your life this morning, listen carefully. When that invitation song is sung, 319, just as I am here in your church this morning, is an altar. Right here, you can worship God. Here in your church this morning is an altar. Right here, sacrifice for him. Commit your life to him. And friend, you can commune with God. He knows your need even before you kneel at an altar. I understand it doesn't have to be this altar, but there must be an altar someplace. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart this morning about making time and renewing and declaring to people, I want an altar in my home and I need it in my life. I need to make time. I've been negligent in making time for my devotions. Here this morning is an altar. As we stand and sing 319, just as I am, if you'd like to come, talk it over with the Lord. He knows your need even before you enter the closet. Quietly, prayerfully, let's stand and sing 319. He knows your need. He rewards openly. You can commune with him here at an altar this morning. 319. Let's sing and feel free to come.